Reading about the real quick, I just wanted to read a scripture. I found the ultimate optimist in the Bible. The ultimate optimist. Does that make sense? And his name was Habakkuk. And so I was just reading this, and let me just read from Habakkuk 3:17, and just read a few scriptures. This is the end of Habakkuk book, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. And it says, and I'm talking about the ultimate optimist, right? And he says, even if the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, if the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, even if the flock disappears from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And he says, the Lord God is my strength. And he has made my feet like deer's feet, he says here. And has me walk on the high places. So even what he saw going around, he said, I don't care what's going on. God, my strength comes from God. God will give me feet like a deer, meaning that no net of the enemy will catch me. I'm an overcomer. He says, and I will be on the high places, which means an overcomer. He says, so regardless of what I see, I could put that in many contexts today, whether it be in the political, whether it be worldwide, whatever you want to put it in. He says, I don't care what I see, I am an overcomer. How about you? Do you feel that same way tonight? Yet I will triumph in the Lord. Are you triumphing in the Lord? Are you triumphing in the Lord? Amen. I would like to declare tonight that I am triumphing in the Lord. I would like to declare over your life that you're triumphing in the Lord as well. Amen. Even if there's areas you're like, God, I need help in some areas or situations or things going on in your life, even then God has never leaves us or forsakes us. Amen. So I'm glad that's the ultimate guy with a positive confession there of what God was going to do in his life, regardless of what he saw. The ultimate optimist. Amen. So we are going to, by the way, you don't have to be here next week, next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. But we're going to have a service, and this is what we're going to do. If you want to come, if you don't, I get it, no problem. But we're just going to have a time. I would like to have a time of people just saying what they're thankful for. So a time of just saying, Lord, I'm thankful for whatever it is. And just give time to just people to voice into the atmosphere, into the air, to say, Lord, I am thankful for this. Now, you don't have to say anything. I don't want you to think that you have to say anything. But if you want to, wouldn't it be a great opportunity just to voice your thankfulness? Amen and amen. I think that'll be a good time. And then we'll have, maybe Gene will play a few songs as well. So we are in John. Does anybody know what session we are in John? Do you know, Eddie? No, that's next year. 36. Amen. And we're in John chapter 5, and I love the book of John, don't you? I love the Word of God and what it does in my life, and the revelation of Christ, and the revelation of His goodness, His victory, and His power coming through the Word of God. Amen. And so you remember we spent, I think it was 3 weeks on John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. So I'm just going to read them one more time. I'm not going to comment on them, but I'm just going to read them, and then we can flow into the next scripture. So it said in John chapter 5, verses 19, it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Let me turn this up so I can see it more better. And then it continues on. John, and then verse 21 says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life." Aren't you glad that God has raised you from the dead and given you life? Amen? Amen. Regardless of your past, regardless of where you come from, what side of the tracks, how you were raised, everybody needs to be raised from the dead. Everybody is born spiritually dead. Did you know that? Doesn't matter your personality. Doesn't matter anything about you. You might be the most well-behaved individual that there is, but you are still born dead. And we can thank who for that? We can thank Adam for that. And so mankind, from Adam unto the second Adam, right, Jesus Christ, all men were born dead. Dead, alive unto sin, but dead unto perfection in God. Is that the truth? Do you agree with me there? For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, hallelujah, so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. And it says, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Isn't that an interesting comment that Jesus makes? And so let's take a look at a little bit of that tonight. And what's that mean, that for not even the Father judges anyone, but has given all judgment? Or you could say he has given all authority to the Son. You could use that word as well. He's given all authority to the Son. And so how can judgment and authority be given to the Son? And you just look at some other scriptures in the context of what Jesus has said and what he had accomplished on the cross. And I love this, Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. So let's read that and then and dissect that a little bit. It says, for in him, and just so you know, when it says in him, it's talking about Jesus. For in Jesus, all the fullness of deity, Godhead, dwells in bodily form. I mean, he is God. We talked about that. Jesus is God. So all the religions out there, false religions, all the cults, it's always coming against the deity of Christ. And it says right there, for in him all the fullness of deity, Godhead, dwells in bodily form. And in him, and it continues on, and in him you have been made complete. Isn't that amazing? You're not looking to be complete. You're not pursuing complete. I know with some of our struggles in our own lives as human beings, it says, in him you have been made complete. That deserves a hallelujah, amen. And he is the head. It continues. You have been made complete, and he is the head over every ruler and authority. He is the head of over every ruler and over every authority. Sometimes we look around the world, what we see in different countries, it does not seem like Jesus is the head over every ruler or every authority, but understand that one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. We'll read that today. Everything shall be made right, and God will rule and reign, amen, forever and ever and ever. So when people say, do you believe in New Age? I say, I sure do believe in the New Age. I believe that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and he's going to make everything brand new. Amen? Everything brand new. He is the head over every ruler and authority. And in him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision performed without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So it says when you were born again, your heart was circumcised. He gave you the ability, a new heart and a new mind. So circumcision wasn't done on the outer body, but on the inner man. Amen. If you've given your life to Christ, things may not be easy, but with the Holy Spirit in your life and with proper understanding of his love, his grace, and his truth, you can continue to grow and grow and grow in the knowledge of God. Doesn't matter your background, where you're headed, you can continue to grow and grow and grow in him. It is completely 100% up to you. But he's there saying, follow me. I've completed everything. I have completed everything that I'm going to complete. It says, in him you are also circumcised. So what about this hymn? So let's look at some of those hymns that we read in Colossians 2, 9 and 11. A, letter A, says, in him all the fullness of deity in bodily form. See, Christ Jesus, you know this, so I know I'm preaching to the choir. He's not an energy, amen? It's not a good vibe. It's not a mystical power. It's not a cloud. It's not a light. It's not a shadow. It's not a substance. It's not a good thought. Not a set of morals. It is the person of Jesus Christ and 100% deity. He is God. Amen. So it says, look, number one, this authority the Father has given to me is because I am God. Amen. I'm not less than. I'm not more than. We know we've talked about the authority of the Godhead. But I am God in bodily form. Amen. You know people out there, I'll talk to people and they'll say, hey, I've got a good vibe. There's a good energy here. I don't know what even what that means. I know you can have a good atmosphere, but really the only energy or atmosphere that I'm interested in is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding my life. I don't know about good vibes. I don't know about good energy. I don't know about this or that, but I do know about the Holy Spirit that gives me the fruit of love, joy, peace, and so forth. Amen. In Jesus Christ. So in Him, all the fullness of deity in bodily form. Amen. Isn't that good? Letter B. In Him, made complete. You are not made complete in the Father. Did you know you're not made complete in the Father? We're not made complete in the Father at all. A lot of people will talk about God. People say, hey, do you believe God? Do you serve God? Or, you know, whatever God's will is. But, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of Bibles that mention God. There's a lot of religions that mention God. But there is only one Jesus Christ. And you can only be made complete in Jesus Christ. See, the world is okay with you to talk about God. It really is. You can talk about God all you want. You can talk about how He works in mysterious ways. You can say how God is in control or just give it to God. But when you start talking about Jesus being the only way, that He's the ultimate authority, that He's the only way you can have your sins washed away, then all of a sudden the world says, wait a second. We don't mind you talking about God, but the God of this world, little g, knows that the only way anybody can be set free is through the authority of Jesus Christ. Through the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Him we have been made complete. Aren't you glad about that? In Christ Jesus you've been made complete. For it said up there in Colossians, it says that, and in Him you have been made complete. Amen. Complete. He has paid the complete price. There's no other work that we're waiting for to be completed. He has completed all. Amen. We may grow in Him. We may go through things, but it is always centered on Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate authority in our lives. You know that. When you're praying for the sick, do you say in the name of God? God is awesome. God the Father. No, He says, I have given my Son authority. So we say, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be set free. In the name of Jesus, so on and so on. It is by the authority and in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We are made complete, not by the Father, but through His Son, Jesus. Does that make sense? Because we just read that there. And God loves to hear that. He's given this authority to Jesus. We'll read when death is finally defeated, Jesus will hand everything over to the Father and said, it is finished, not from a cross perspective, but from the last enemy of death being defeated. In Him, we have been made complete. We can only find our washing from our sins. We can only be set free from depression. We can only be set free from legalism. We can only be set free from whatever thing that we struggle with, any addiction, by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? It says also, letter C, He is the head over every ruler and authority. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Let's read a few scriptures here. For as in Adam, all die. Right? We've talked about that. Thank you, Adam. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. Did I hear an elk? Is that Mike? For as in Adam, all die. So also in Christ, all will be made alive if you put your trust in him. But each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, right? Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, right? He gave his life. He was given a name that's above every name. So Christ is the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Amen. I can't wait to see him. And then it says, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to our God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy will be abolished is death. Amen? For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is clear that this excludes the Father who put all things into subjection to him. So he's saying, yeah, God put all things under the subjection of Jesus, his authority. He says, but of course that doesn't mean God, right? He said he put everything under the subjection to Jesus Christ, all authority put in subjection. It is clear that this excludes the Father who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. What he's saying, he says, I've given all authority to Jesus. Everything is accomplished through Jesus. And at that when the age is closed, and this age closed, and Christ returns, it says that death will be the last enemy that will be defeated, and then God will, and then Jesus will give it all to his Father and said, I've completed everything that you gave me to do. All authority right now is in the name of Jesus. All authority has been given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All authority has been given to our big brother, Jesus. Amen? All authority, everything that we accomplish in this life is through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Father loves to glorify the name of Jesus Christ because of what he accomplished. And it says D, we talked about it, the letter D. And in him you were all circumcised with a circumcision performed without hands. Romans 2:28-29 says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Could you imagine Paul saying that in that day and age? Do you know that got him in a lot of trouble? Did you know that got him a lot of prison time? Did you know that had people wanting to kill him for statements like this? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor circumcision that which is outward is the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, remember we talked about this, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from people, but from God. So what he's saying here, that a Jew is one who's been circumcised by the Spirit of God inwardly. As it says in the book of Galatians, that we are children of Abraham. And the first thing that we receive with this promise of being a child of Abraham, is the Spirit of God. Did you know that what it says right there, that you could say, I'm not one that believes that Jews have been replaced, that replacement theology, I don't believe that at all. But did you know that it says in the book of Ephesians, I think it's chapter 2, that the two worlds of the Jewish world and the Gentile world through Christ have become one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So you could say that he is a Jew, his one inwardly. By the Holy Spirit, making you a child of Abraham. Not of the heart, but by the Spirit. Not by the letter. Not following the letter of the law, but by the Spirit of God that illuminates in our hearts, setting us free by the authority of Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to be a child of God? Amen? Isn't it good to be 100% accepted and loved by your Father? Isn't it good to be part of his family, to be included in his family? Isn't it good? It says, I did a circumcision that wasn't by the letter, by the outward circumcision, but I did a circumcision in the heart, saying that you belong to me, and now you have the opportunity to walk with me in my grace and my mercy to the ability that you want to. Oh, it is good to have an inward circumcision. Amen? I want to just name, and then I'm talking about the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. So I just looking at the book of Philippians. and how often it just mentioned the not just the authority, but just Jesus Christ in general. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, just some scripture says, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." He says, the affection that I have for you came from the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes it's not easy to have an affection for somebody. You know, he's not talking about something about I like you or we could hang out. He says, no, through Jesus Christ, he says, I have an affection for you. Guys, he's saying, I love you guys with the deepest of loves. I'm concerned about every aspect of your life. I'm concerned about every aspect of the church. I have an affection for you that came through Jesus Christ. That can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he says, I have an affection of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:11, it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, amen? Where do you get your fruits of righteousness? From Jesus Christ, amen? The fruits of righteousness in our lives, everything that we accomplish for him, that by his Spirit is through the fruits of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, amen? As I continued, I just continued to read Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So calling kind of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, knowing that through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, aren't you glad you have a supply of the Spirit? Amen. Did you know you and I, through Jesus Christ, have a supply of the Spirit? The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I know about you, but say, Lord, thank you for a full supply of your Spirit. Thank you for a full supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your deliverance through the full supply of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joy in you, Lord, through a full supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's continue to see if there's just a few more things we can pick up from Philippians. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, so if I live, I am living in Christ. Are you living in Christ today? Amen. I'm learning as I grow in him, when I have struggles and things that try to get myself down, I just start worshiping him. I start loving him and worshiping him and saying, Lord, I'm not going to have an attitude like that. I'm not going to be down like that. I'm not going to allow depression or my emotions to rule my life. And what I've learned is the first thing I do is start worshiping the Lord. I start worshiping the Lord and thanking him for a fullest supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and is to die his gain. We live this life, if we only have, 100 years maybe? You guys going to live to 100? So I see somebody saying, not me. You're... It's amazing how short life is. If you notice, as the older you get, the quicker it goes by. Wow. One of these days, seeing him face to face. So nothing that we've endured, nothing that's come against us, will pale in comparison to seeing his face. Are you looking forward to seeing him? As Paul says, for me to live is Christ. I'm walking with him. I love him. He's giving my full supply. He's leading and guiding me. He says, when I die, it's gain. I don't lose anything. You and I, when we draw our last breath, we don't lose anything. I think of the people that I've known that's gone before us, that have passed away even from this church, that are waiting that we'll see again. Man, if we can be sorrowful down here on earth, but if we talked to them, they said, man, just go on with your life. Live with a full supply of Jesus Christ. We'll be reunited to see those people again, but they would say, go on. Go on and do the work of the Lord. We'll be reunited again. Philippians 1:26, let's continue. Just a few more scriptures. That your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, by my coming to you again, may be more abundant. My rejoicing, your rejoicing for me, be more abundant in Jesus Christ. So there's more abundance in Jesus Christ. There's a more abundance of joy. There's a more abundance of affection. There's more abundance in strength and peace in Jesus Christ. So if you, as you read these a book like Philippians, where he was in prison, over and over and over again, he's talking about Jesus. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus wants for you. This is what Jesus has accomplished for you. This is what Jesus would have you to walk in. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And why? Because God has given all the authority in our walk with God to Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:1 says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, he starts out there, if there be any encouragement in Christ. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be encouraged in Christ? Let me just stop and say, if you need encouragement in Christ, he can give it to you tonight. It doesn't matter what you're facing or what you're dealing with, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, wants to encourage us day by day by day. You ever have where you can get the blues and your emotions want to control you or lead you? I think one of the biggest things that was a revelation to me was that said the just shall live by faith. And it started dawning on me that my emotions had nothing to do with my security and my seating with Christ. And as I began to worship and honor him, I would learn to bring my emotions into subjection to me, that they would not lead and guide me. Now, we all have emotions that can get out of there, can get loose or take over in certain situations, or anger or resentments or whatever. But God has designed us that we would be controlled by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, and that the emotions would not be leading us. They would actually be in the back of being the caboose, and we would be led by our spirit man, by the power of God, and our emotions would not be leading us. You know, I didn't know that because I was kind of raised in Pentecostalism where emotions kind of was the leader. And I'm not saying that you can't have times of emotions and powerful move of God. But on Monday morning, if you don't have those emotions, right, you still have to go on and figure out how you're going to walk in the joy of the Lord, regardless of what your emotions and your flesh say. Amen? Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, so Lord, I ask that you would encourage every heart tonight by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Philippians 2:5, I want to read this wonderful scriptures. Philippians 2:5-11 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when did Christ Jesus have this attitude? When he was walking on the earth. When he was walking as a man, walking in flesh, just like you and I. He says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, right, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason also, this is why God gave him the authority he has. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Jesus emptied himself. He said he was God, but he emptied himself and became a bondservant, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because he accomplished what God gave him to do, God said, I'm giving you the name that is above every name. That's why when Jesus, before he left, and the gospel says, hey, I know that before you prayed a certain way, but from now on, you're to pray in my name. Because basically what he was saying is all authority has been given to me. At the name of Jesus, power in the name of Jesus, power in the name of Jesus over sickness, power in Jesus' name over disease, power in Jesus' name over everything that would come against you. He's given us power, authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Why? Because God has given authority to Jesus. And in turn, Jesus has given you and I authority. He says, no more pray this way or that way. He says, now pray in my name because I am giving you authority. Amen. Aren't you glad the authority that God's given you? Then I go back, says, for just as a father raises the dead and gives them life, aren't you glad he's given you life? So that the son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the son. Well, now we know why, because all authority has been given to the son. We can also please God. We can only please God through the Son. You know, this is just a reminder. The enemy is always trying to get us back into what? Doing things our way, trying to earn our way, or trying to do things through our own efforts. We have to remind ourselves constantly that our righteousness is only found through Jesus Christ. We can only please God through the Son. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 says, and you were dead in your offenses and sins. You guys remember those days? Do you remember when you were dead in your offenses and sins? I sure do. In which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. And I hate to say it, but who are the sons of disobedience? Every person that does not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a son of disobedience. Do you realize that? I'm not saying they're terrible persons. I'm not saying they can't be a good neighbor. I'm not saying that they're not a good co-worker. But the sons of disobedience, there's everybody who says Jesus Christ is not Lord. The only way to become a child of light is giving your life to Jesus Christ, allowing his Holy Spirit to minister to you, to realize that you can't work or do any efforts to get his acceptance. Is only putting your trust and your faith in the one who has given all authority and power until the very end, when death is finally defeated and we're standing before him and knowing that all of it was worth it, everything that we went through was worth it, and we stand before him, we throw our crowns at his feet and say, it is only because of you, Jesus, that I'm here. We can only please God through the Son. Everything in this world, everything as far as our faith, everything is predicated on the authority of Jesus Christ. Nowadays, people want to just use Jesus' name as a curse word or whatever. That's the enemy, but it's a precious name. When we're going through difficult times, this is what we can do. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your presence. Matter of fact, can we stand up together for a minute? Can we stand up and get those feet moving again? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm still a young guy. I'm getting 2 inches off the ground. Can we say, Jesus, thank you for your authority that you've given me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in my life. Thank you for victory, Father, in my life. Thank you, Father, for breaking depression, Father, breaking discouragement off our lives in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Father, that you heal diseases in Jesus' name. Father God, thank you that you heal cancer in Jesus' name. Lord, that we would realize that we'd have a revelation of the authority that we have only through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the joy that we have in circumstances where we shouldn't have any joy, but we do because of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for healing and blessing marriages because of Jesus Christ, Father God. Thank you for giving us hearts for people in the world that desperately need you because we have the heart of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we not be ashamed of you. Lord, may we never be ashamed of Jesus, because that's the name above every name. There is no salvation. There's no life found in any other name but in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for that authority, Father. We thank you for that authority that you gave Jesus, Father. And then Jesus says, hey, I am giving you authority now. I'm giving you my authority. You're a child of Abraham. You're in the new covenant. So the authority that was given to me from my Father, I am giving it to you. So, Lord, we exercise authority and say, thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for breaking fetters and chains over people's lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And how we love you and we honor you. We worship you. We thank you, Father, for stirring a hunger in our hearts, more of a hunger, Father, just to know more of you, to be strengthened into you, Father God. Waking up in the morning, Father, with the joy of the Lord, with a song on our lips, with a desire to continue to walk with Jesus, and that others would come to know the only name by which people can be set free. We thank you for that tonight, and we love you and worship you. Father, we do all this, we say all this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everybody said, amen, amen. Don't you love the name of Jesus? Hallelujah.